This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 616. That's 617? No, I wasn't here last week. 618. I'm Brian Kilby. Diecast hosted last week. Thank you very much for hosting Diecast.
You're welcome.
But it weirds me out when somebody else is hosting and they don't first mention, oh my God, Brian's not here. Where's Brian? Oh my God, Brian. It never happens.
You were at Celebration, right?
No, I was at work.
Well, honestly, you missed so many episodes at this point. It's just become kind of commonplace.
It's about every third, yeah. I'm changing my schedule. When I say changing my schedule, I'm changing my travel schedule at work. I'm going to take a little more control over that, and I'm not going to make Wednesday trips if I can help it. So I have a little more control over my schedule than I realized. So,
oh, good.
Yeah. So, God, the internet and the chipmunk episode was so bad.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Though.
The funny thing is, last week the internet was good enough to where I could have done the show, but I'd already committed to not. So. And, I slept. It was great. I slept all the way through. I got home, I ate, and I slept for like 12 hours. It was pretty awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So, Chris there, we already said Diecast, Matt spoke. John, how's it going?
It's good. It's good, Brian.
Ruggedly
standing
handsome.
Standing by.
John DeLuna.
Standing by to do some podcasting.
Yes. Rob Clay.
New Soundwave?
Oh, man, that'd be great.
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
New Soundwave?
No Jason this week. Jason is busy with, I think, family. And Don had surgery.
Don is undergoing the Odin sleep.
Don is going through the Odin sleep, yes. So that's 100 years, right?
No, I forget.
I think it's once every 100 years, I believe.
That makes sense. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. But,
like 8 hours every 100 years?
No, it's longer than that.
Okay.
No wonder Odin is so angry.
Yeah. God. Don's going through the Odin sleep. That's funny. Actually, you mentioned New Soundwave. I'm working on building another meme system, and I'm having a lot of fun with that. It just makes me want to talk about video games more. Too bad we don't have a podcast.
Talk about Star Trek instead.
We could. We should have a podcast. So Jason has a podcast where he talks about wrestling and Star Trek. We could have a podcast where we talk about video games and Star Trek.
You know, if you want to talk about video games, very topical right now. The most realistic 3D version of Notre Dame was actually in Assassin's Creed Unity from 2014, where they actually may use that model to help rebuild.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Yes, and Ubisoft is currently giving it away for PC just to help, promote recovery from the Notre Dame fire, incidentally.
Wow. I've never played one of those games, so yeah.
Assassin's Creed, not bad.
Yeah.
They're hit and miss.
Yeah, I liked 4. I like just screwing around and sailing around in the pirate ship.
Is that the one is that the one Magneto's in? The one with Notre Dame? I don't know.
What? video games.
Yeah.
I think that was the movie.
Oh. Hey, it's all the same thing. Hey,
I wouldn't put that past him for a DLC pack.
Yeah?
Yeah, they could do that. Let's see here. What do we got? There's not a lot to talk about as far as like stuff to promote. There's no events coming up anytime soon that we're going to be a part of anyway.
Yeah, still like 3 months until SDCC, and we're not even going to be there.
We should go if we get invited again. It's been a couple years since we were invited to that, though.
Yeah, Diecast, start saving up for the travel.
Oh, the guys will see. Well, we'll see at San Diego Comic-Con, Ben Montano and John Warden. I'm like, no.
Yes. Directly after TFCon in Toronto, turn around and go to California for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have no desire to go to SDCC. I knew John went at least once or twice, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds horrible.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
It really does.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do it once and then never again.
Well,
I don't even want to do it once.
I think I'm okay with the never again. Well,
yeah.
Well, so, like in pre-show, you should join us at tfradio.net/live every Wednesday. You can also get it on YouTube, Twitch, and wherever. We were talking about, it may have actually been even before the stream, we were talking about BotCon 2015. I know BotCon had its problems. BotCon sure had its problems. And I do love TFCon. But having like an official convention is something we took for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one for 22 years. And I miss that.
Star Wars has one. Why can't we?
I mean, yeah, but it's a little bigger than, you know, what
I think partly
own Star Wars.
I think partly it's because there's someone who wants to put on a Star Wars convention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Someone would need to want to organize a Transformers convention on Hasbro's behalf and under Hasbro's rules and at Hasbro's behest, probably.
But yeah,
even Funpub only wanted to put on a G.I. Joe show.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true. They were asked to run BotCon. Yeah. But no, TFCon's great. I just wish, you know, like there was something where you could interact with Hasbro and have, you know, official exclusives and stuff. Hey, but we have Hasbro Pulse. Man, you know, a lot to get off my chest there. It's been so long since I was on the show. It's been, been a long time.
And getting this from there week to here. You haven't been huffing helium.
So, like, when we did that episode, you told me I sounded like a chipmunk, and I said, no, it's not that bad. It was that bad. That was what...
It was exactly as bad as we were saying.
What was that episode?
I tried to warn you.
That was 6:15.
We all did.
That was 6:15. I think everybody should go back to tfradio.net/6:15 and listen to the cold open. That's how I sounded for the entire podcast.
And fortunately, post-production is a magical thing.
Yeah. I slowed myself down 9%, which, or 5%, which got me half my way back to, I didn't slow myself down. I raised the tone 5%, but you guys sounded a little deeper and I sounded a little more like myself. Chris is the only one that sounded off. He's like, hey, I'm Chris. How are you doing?
To be fair, I always sound a little off.
Yeah, it's true. Hey,
I was born that way.
I want to start off with what we got this week, since I wasn't here last week, and I'm not going to recap everything. So if you want to hear the real thoughts, like on the most recent Siege deluxes that Hasbro Pulse sent, and I got like eight boxes, by the way, total. But if you want to hear more about that, check out last week, tfradio.net/617. I have a list. So Laser Beacon Ravage, I got that. Big Powered. I got that. My general thoughts on Big Power, and I think it was Chris that said this, and he nailed it. Every single toy that was modified came out for the worse, basically.
Yes, that was me, and of course I was correct.
So, in general, I think the one that came out the best was probably Roadfire, because I think Roadfire is beautiful. But generally speaking, the rest... What they had to do to get Diatlas to be one piece with that connector piece is so horrible.
Yeah, I should have just taken a little bit of liberty and made him a separate jet and tank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would have been much better.
Yeah,
I hated that little connector piece. I don't even know what you would call it, but like when you have conjoined twins that just have like the little, it's kind of like that. Yeah, it's horrible. Some of these other things I haven't even had a chance to open yet because of travel. Ironhide, Chromia, Prowl, the Micromasters, the Red Heat, and Stakeout. I really like those names. Red Heat sounds like an 80s action / Skinemax movie.
Just make sure you do the Chris fix with Ironhide.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
PlayWithPhotography.com has the full article with helpfully illustrated photos.
Excellent. PlayWithPhotography.com.
And it's not hard. I did it per his instructions.
And if Diecast can do it, literally
even
anybody
can. Can do it, yes.
So I got a second six gun, and the Cogmans, plural, that I ordered during RFC 616, I originally ordered it through Hasbro Pulse. I think Chris pointed out I could get it on Amazon. I'm like, okay. So I ordered it through the Podvocacy Amazon because I can't use Chris's as well.
It doesn't work out that well.
So I have two Cogmans now. I guess three technically, but two of the Siege versions. But I want to talk about some of the other stuff I got. So
you mean Cog?
No, Cogman.
The Studio Series Siege Cogman.
I'm sorry, Studio Series.
Okay.
Studio Series. Sorry. I got a couple other things though I want to talk about. I'll run through them real quick. I've been trying to buy more Cyberverse and more RescueBot stuff lately, and I saw the Rescue Roar, I mean, the Rocket Roar Grimlock, and I really like it.
Rescue Roar sounds so much more interesting, though.
I was confused. Like, I was fumbling that in Rescue Roy, the fire engine from Go 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 Bots or whatever it was, which I never got Rescue Roy. I need to add that to my Amazon, my Walmart, my eBay search list. had a dog named Rescue Roy briefly. He was a Dalmatian. I ended up giving it to a cousin. He was a mean dog.
It was a Dalmatian.
Yeah, it was a Dalmatian.
Kind of goes with the territory.
But I'm not going to demonstrate the transformation, but the transformation on Rocket Roar Grimlock is different than the G1 toy. I mean, of course. But the sort of the G1 transformation is sort of like, in my mind, the archetypal or the prototypal way Grimlock should transform. I think this is a little closer to the way that the Classics toy transforms, but in my mind it's a equally fun and compelling transformation where the tail opens up and becomes I like it. So you should pick it up. It's cheap. I think it was like $10 or maybe a little more than that, but it's definitely worth it. I got, speaking of Rescue Bots, I forget. I think it was Sean or somebody on Twitter suggested that I should get Hotshot. I thought there was one Hotshot in Rescue Bots. I didn't realize there were two. There's the one price point here. I think this is the $15 price point that transforms. It's not like a one step. Actually, it is a one step. Hotshot transforms into like a plane.
Oh, is that what they're calling that?
Right. But I like it. But to use Rob Springer's terminology, I also got the big like shampoo bottle Hotshot. Mm. And there's actually some articulation. The arms move, the head tilts. That's it. But you know, for $10, it's, you know, you have a big neoteny. I don't know what the adjective form of neoteny is, but you have a infantile looking Hotshot. So you stand him up there so he doesn't fall. He'll probably fall during the show. More Rescue Bot stuff. I got Morbot, who's a Viacon looking race car. Another like simple transformation. I think you transform, you push the spoiler and basically transforms.
Oh, that looks much more like a thing.
Yeah, I know. I like it. Like it quite a bit. So that, I think that was another cheapo figure. Something that's not quite as cheapo. I got the New Age Toys, Legendary Heroes. God, the names. Mini Warriors Max. And I don't know why
he's called.
Cool. Yeah, it's Cosmos.
All that preamble just to call it Max.
I know, right? Not Cosmos. I love the likeness in robot mode. I like the robot mode a lot, actually. I like the feel of the plastic. It doesn't feel cheap. I don't care. I like the vehicle mode. The vehicle mode, it's Cosmos. I mean, you don't get any simpler than that. But I don't like the transformation. My hand actually started aching a little bit doing the transformation for this. It's not that it's that involved. It's just that there are a couple of things you have to get just right. And don't get me wrong, I prefer it to like general panel formers, but the transformation just, I described it as inelegant, but it's not horrific by any stretch. It's not like Sun Surge or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just not, I would prefer it be simpler. But for $25, I guess if you got something that was literally had the transformation of a $5 toy, you might get a little upset. So I don't know that it's worth $25, but I do like it. In that sense, because I mean, I love Cosmos. A couple other things. I'll save that to last. I mentioned this a few weeks ago that I had ordered the Beast Wars Hellamoka Wolf Fang, and see if I can get it. The paint job on this is really epic.
I want to get one of those too.
It's really nice. It comes with a DVD.
You can't play.
Yeah, region 4 or 5, whatever it is. I can play.
3?
I don't remember.
Region 3 sounds right,
but yeah, it's It's nice. I was going to open it and show it. It's been opened. I repackaged it. I was going to leave it out, but it looks so nice in the box. I'm just going to leave it in the box. let's see here. What else? Oh, this is kind of a cheat, but I wanted to mention anyway. And again, this is like literally 3 weeks worth of toys. So it's not like I just got all this stuff last week.
Not that we would put that past you.
I know, right? So this is kind of a cheat, but G1 Ultra Magnus.
Woo-hoo.
So it's actually my childhood Ultra Magnus, but I did. I did a horrible job with the cab years ago trying to do a custom. So the custom, I threw it away. It was just, I completely botched it. I used the wrong kind of paint. I didn't know what I was doing. And just, you know, it was beat up anyway. So on eBay, I bought a new cab. So, and then I needed one new missile launcher and both missiles. And I had a complete Ultra Magnus.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was happy with that. Something else I got the day after the last episode I was on. I had mentioned before how I got Beast Wars Megatron. I said I'd gotten I had a T-Rex before. But it was one I got rid of. So I've been rebuying stuff. I got another T-Rex.
Well, you could have bought mine. Toy, I just sold it not too long ago.
Yeah. It was so cheap. It was like $15.
Oh, wow.
In the box. What? It's sealed. Nice. In the box. Yeah.
Where?
Wow.
eBay.
Mine went for like 80 or something
It may have been 20. It's not sealed. Okay. It's been repackaged. I thought it was sealed. Mm. But like $15. It was not bad at all.
Still not bad considering.
I know.
Yeah, that's great.
Something I'd ordered on Big Bad Toy Store months ago. I'd forgot it had been in my pile of loot or whatever. It's the Year of the Cock. Is that what it is? Year of the Rooster Optimus Prime. So based on the
hybrid style.
Hybrid Convoy 01.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, you know, so this is a toy that I had years ago. I had the hybrid style Convoy and I hated it. I immediately sold it like within days of getting it. But this was relatively cheap and it's sealed. It's never going to get opened. And it looks nice in the box. That was the thing about when I bought hybrid style Convoy before. In photos, it looked phenomenal until you actually played with it. So yeah, so totally justified buying that just as part of Brian's, you know, repurchasing strategy. So the next thing, two more items. The next thing, actually, I got this past week. It came today. I bought it from our buddy Alan. Oh, You're the Cock Optimus fell.
That's stupid.
Stupid. You're the Cock. So I got this from our buddy Alan Young, also known as Waspinator or Toy Box Comics. He sold this on eBay. Something I had years ago, and I sold.
Oh.
Gigastorm. And Gigastorm, of course, is from Beast Wars 2nd. He is the upgraded form of Megastorm. He is the Megastorm, of course, is based on the G2 Megatron mold, and Gigastorm is based on Trypticon. Basically the same toy with just some different paint applications and a gigantic horn.
I've never seen one of those before.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not super different looking from Trypticon. Like, if you put them side by side, they're not that tremendously different, but Gigastorm is definitely interesting looking as a companion piece, especially with the giant Predacon symbol that makes it stand out.
Oh yeah, you're right. It was one is something that I gotten rid of that I wish I hadn't. So, but last item, something of a holy grail. Again, most of my holy grails are like not prohibitively expensive. It's just I never get around to buying them because it usually goes for more than what I want. Like one, for example, holy grail, something I sold and got rid of that I wish I hadn't, is like my eHobby GoBot set. I think I paid like $50 for it.
That is prohibitively expensive these days.
Well, yeah, it goes for like $500, but it's not like it's not like $2,000. It's not like $2,000. And I bought it for like $50, and I resold it at a profit for like $80. But or like Metal's Ravage is another example. I sold it. I sold it at a profit. I sold it for like $100, and it now goes for like $300. But this is something I wanted for years, and just never got around to getting till today. It is the Beast Wars 2nd game for the Game Boy Color.
Huh.
Wanted this for years. It's a fighting game. It's okay. It's not a very good game. But
you have it.
But I have it. Yeah. So something I've always wanted. Next week, I should only have one item. But it's another Holy Grail. And I'm
you know the worst part about the Metal's Ravage thing?
That I got
in 2006. No, in 2006, when they were doing the 10th anniversary line, they wanted to release that Metal's Ravage mold in Ravage colors, because they'd used it at BotCon 2001, I think, as Tigatron. So they wanted to release it in Ravage colors for the Beast Wars anniversary line in the U.S. They couldn't find it anymore. They had lost the mold between 2001 and 2006.
Boo.
Oh, jeez.
We could have had that thing for $10 just at Toys R Us in all the quantity you could ever want, but they lost the mold.
It's a nice toy. So the worst part is, though, like, for me, is Image Anime sent me two of them when I bought one, and they made me pay for shipping back.
That's the best.
Yeah. Of course, it was like 2000 or 2001. No, 99, 2000, whenever it was it came out. So, yeah, I'm a sucker. I am such a sucker. But yeah, next week, I should only have one thing, thank God. But it's a Holy Grail, and nobody is going to care except for maybe Matt. And maybe Chris. John may care. Rob may care.
Well, you already have all the Piranacon colors, so now you have my
interest. So basically what you're saying is nobody will care except for all of us here other than Diecast.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
So what you're really saying is that you'll have this Holy Grail item next week that Diecast won't care about.
This is true.
And, you know, I want to point out this whole stretch of things that you went through that is 3 weeks accumulation for you, it is still less than what Diecast presents us with on some weeks.
This is true.
From just 1 week.
Most weeks.
This is true. But it feels totally excessive to me, but... But
oh, no. Diecast weeks are always totally excessive, so that tracks.
Okay, Diecast, what have you got this week?
Oh. I have one major thing, and it's the 3A Bumblebee.
What?
Okay, that looks nice.
Man, it is beautiful.
Why'd you get that?
And, that missing headlight.
They contact the they just captured the eyes so great on it, and they light up. Has the battle mask face you can put on it too.
Except but mine doesn't have a headlight.
Yeah, mine is missing a headlight. So hopefully, I'll get that worked out with 3A, and they'll be able to send me a piece because that chest piece is actually on a ball joint. It pops off, so it would be an easy piece to replace.
So, like, what is it, Minerva A or whatever her name is?
Huh?
Oh, no. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, what? I know what you're thinking about. Yeah.
Aphrodite A.
Aphrodite.
Check out the knee. When you bend the knee, it's got like three or four things that move with it, and then there's a panel in the back so you can get the leg almost all the way up that pops in, and then when you pull it down, that panel actually pops back out. It's really nice. I really like the size, and this is the first 3A thing I've ever purchased.
How much was it?
The like 135.
That's better than I thought.
That's terrible for 3A.
Yeah, because the 3A stuff is usually huge, and they're like $400-$500. This is much more reasonable to me. The paint effects are beautiful. The details beautiful. Like I said, they did the eyes. Exceptionally well. Even the ears are poseable on it.
I mean,
it's just a really nice figure, and he has his regular hand too, but I just put his cannon arm on there.
I'll be honest with you, after MP43 I would be really fine if some Masterpiece Transformers didn't transform and just looked as nice as they do in robot mode.
Yeah, no, I was actually thinking like the Beast Wars characters would probably do really well in that format.
Yes.
I would be happy if Masterpiece was making good toys instead of 100% animation accurate, but yeah,
I'd be really happy
if
3A went in and did a G1 line like this. I think that would be
the problem with that is in my mind
there's not enough detail.
Yeah, it's not G1 at that point because you have to introduce all this extra detail and everything. It doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, there's two ways you would go with this, which is one is Brian's approach where you would take the cartoon models and introduce detail that was never there, which would make it not be G1, but make it more like some of those Imaginarium art statues that none of us think look good, except maybe Diecast. Or you would go with them making non-transforming versions of the toy designs, but of course then changing the proportions to make them look more normal humanoids like the animation models, which again wouldn't be G1 anymore. So,
like the closest thing to it, I was going to say is like the Revoltech stuff, even though it's tiny, but
that was Dreamwave.
Yeah, that's Dreamwave.
Yeah.
I guess there's some other vinyl kits or whatever that are G1-esque that...
I would like to see something along the lines of the Robot Adamashi anime editions they're doing for some of the older Gundam figures, where they go with the animation style with like a minor detail up, but mostly they just pile as many option parts and articulation on the thing as possible.
Is that the
I would love something like that.
Is that the line that did the like the Gypsy Avenger and the
same brand.
Okay, yeah, I like those.
Same brand, different team, I suspect, but yeah. And there certainly, I think, would be a market for something like animation accurate non-transforming figures, but at the Robot Damashi scale, like the 5-inch scale versus that 10 or 12 inch like that Bumblebee is. Like, you can get by with the lack of surface and detail and complexity at a smaller action figure size, but as you get scaled up, it
looks weird
to look. It looks like a shampoo bottle.
It's like when we go to at BotCon or whichever convention it was, where they have the giant Devastator on card, and it just looks weird at that scale.
Yeah, the weathering on this is just so good. The paint work's just so good. They even have details, which I can only notice because the headlight doesn't have a lens, but the detail there's even details inside the headlight lens that you can't even see on the other side.
That's ridiculous. That's amazing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's a really nice piece. I'm glad that they made something that was in the price range that I was willing to spend on a non-transformable figure.
Yeah, because this is actually a new, like, basically size class that they've introduced. This is their DX line, I think they're calling it. So, like, it's just a line of smaller figures, what they typically produce for that lower, slightly more accessible price point. I think, actually, in the news this week, we have pictures of the third one from this series. They're doing the Blitzwing, and then there's an Optimus Prime coming up, too.
Yeah, I did see that. Yep.
Cool. Anything else I cast? You said that was the most important thing, but what else did you get?
I got those Micromasters, the Wave 2 Micromasters, but I didn't even take them out of the package.
I want more
I like that Laserbeak a lot, and Ravage certainly exists.
Well, the Laserbeak I had for a while, it was the other pack that I didn't have, the cars.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about them, or I don't care about them, sorry.
Yeah. But yes. Yeah, I'm so happy with that Bumblebee. Like, even though it came with a missing headlight, I'm sure I'm gonna get that worked out, but...
Oh, yeah.
Let us know if you don't.
Super impressed. Yeah, I will. I mean, Big Bad Toy Store wanted me to return it and repurchase and be on the pre-order list again, because I guess they didn't get enough in to cover their pre-orders, and I was like, no, I'll try and work through the manufacturer itself to see.
Yeah, I guess they probably don't have any spares on hand to take apart for replacement pieces.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and I really don't want to send it back and be without
it. Yeah, that's understandable.
Let's see here. Chris, did you get anything?
No.
Oh.
I had some really good beef lo mein and sushi for lunch. Ew. Well, the beef lo mein was really good. The sushi came from a grocery store, so I mean, how good could it be?
You know, public sushi isn't bad.
Well, this was Kroger.
Depends on how nice the Kroger is. They have a wide assortment of like different levels of grocery store.
They certainly do. In 2015, on the way to BotCon, I stopped at one in Kentucky, which literally had not been updated since 1985.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
There's an
Ingles. Inside or out.
There's an Ingles here like that. Ingles is a regional chain that's based in North Carolina, but there's one that's like literally walking into the 80s. It's pretty amazing.
But on Wednesday, most of the sushi is $5 a tray, so...
Nice.
Since I was out anyway, I just decided to have a fun lunch / dinner for today. That was tasty, but I didn't buy any toys.
Matt, did you get anything?
Not a single thing.
Oh. Okay, John?
Nope.
Rob?
Just a couple of things. I did get Prowlin 6 gun from Hasbro Pulse. It took a couple of tries because I had to change the credit card on file on my order, and apparently that just threw their entire system into howling disarray. But, you know, on the third try, they got it sent to me, and I just wanted to, probably the more noteworthy thing about the order is that I got two figures in the same box.
Wow.
But two different figures in the same box? Because I got 2 6 guns in one box.
I got 6 gun and Prowl in the same box.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that is probably...
You're just you're breaking rules now, man. Stop that.
Yeah, someone was looking at their shipping bill going, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, Six Gun, I have yet to unleash the full potential of. I really like it. I do feel the same way I did with COG, that I really wish they could get their plastic tolerances down a little bit more, because there are just some things somewhere that don't fit quite right. And with what they're going for with the weaponizers, that's really kind of a problem. It is a great idea that I think just needs to be executed better to get the most out of it. But other than that, I like it. There's a lot of fun things to do with that, and I'm really enjoying it. And I'm kind of disturbed by how much I like Prowl. I was not expecting to like that mold that much, and just I'm still not like super thrilled with how it looks in robot mode, but I like the car mode. I like how it transforms, and you know, nothing falls off. I don't have to take the doors off, transform it, and the doors are not sticky. So it is just a vast improvement over Universe Prowl. But yeah, I will probably try and get at least Barricade out of this mold, if not the other two Autobot cars, because I wound up liking that a lot more than I expected.
Cool. Awesome. Okay. Let's, just jump into the news. Man,
would you buy that mold again?
Would I buy that mold again?
Yeah, he just said.
Yes, because we've got some good news for you. Yes.
Great. Yeah. So, Generation Selects. Is it Generation Selects or Generation Select or Generation Selects? Do we establish what it actually is?
Selects, I believe.
I think the Hasbro version is Generation Selects. The Takara Tomy version seems to be Generation Selects, at least on their website. It'll be interesting to see if there's any difference when we actually see packaging for any of this.
Yeah. So, new item part of that series is going to be Smokescreen. Looks nice. My problem with the Cybertronian modes, I don't know if I've articulated this in the past, when you, the paint apps, especially with the toys that are based on like a real vehicle, like the G1 paint is based on like a real world, like race car or whatever. And when you go in and then apply that same thing to like a different mode, that makes no sense. At least like with the Binaltech Smokescreen, they use like the paint apps for the actual car, where this is, it just looks weird to me because it's a Cybertronian car, quote unquote, with that, Nissan,
Datsun.
Same thing, right? Or am I?
Yeah, I think so.
But that paint app from that one race car, rally car, whatever it was, it's just weird. It looks weird to me. But yeah, I pre-ordered it. Hasbro Pulse has it for, what, $20?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I got it on pre-order as soon as it came up. I'm going to buy it.
It's also, I saw it first on the Previews World catalog, so apparently it's going to be distributed through Diamond to comic shops, too.
Cool. Hmm. Is there a lot of demand for transfer stuff like this at comic shops?
I can't imagine.
Not that I've ever seen. My comic shops carry the Transformers comics.
It's available to be distributed to comic shops. That's no guarantee that a comic shop will choose to order any. Yeah.
I don't actually shop at my local comic shop, and I hate to say that. It's just it's more gaming than comics, and I love D&D, but if I go to a comic shop, I want to buy comics. But the comic shop that I go to most often, they have a lot of Transformers, but it's all G1 stuff. You never see like new product on the shelf. It's just vintage stuff.
I wish the Smokescreen had a little more paint and robot mode, though. It's just that I wish not all of it were just black. That's the only thing about it that's bugging me. I don't mind the dots and color scheme too much. It's just if some of that paint could have moved over to the robot mode, like silver on the thighs, I think is really what I'm missing here, or white or something.
Don is saying in the chat that the robot mode needs more red, and I think I agree with that, honestly.
Yeah, because it looks like it almost all just disappears in robot mode.
Yeah.
What you might be able to do with like a toy hack set or something is have like some red bordering for the windows, so you get the red on the shins at least.
That could work.
The upper body is, I mean, it's blue, it's red,
profoundly blue.
Yeah, it's
blue with a red collar.
Yeah. In a way, if you threw a cape on him, he'd look like Superman without the S symbol. So,
he looks like he has blue heels.
He does look like that way. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking about when I saw this is, where's my blue streak? And also, do you think they're doing this Generation Selects style because the waves are getting shortened for each year? So you're only getting like 4 deluxe waves out of 5. So this is some way to, you know, put some repaints out there and recoup some of the mold money. And
that's
why they always do, you know, repaints. I'm fine with that. Transformers has always had repaints. So
but I think Diecast's point here is that we're seeing more of this and a more focused direction of how they're being distributed. Like, they're leaning farther into the online distribution model for this to make sure they can get that stuff out there. And yeah, I think we are seeing more of this and it being more like straightforward characters like Smokescreen that we're seeing get done like this because there's not room for it in the shortened main lines.
Partly though, there's a lot of fan demand for like exclusive stuff. While Smokescreen is kind of a, I don't want to say like a wet, cold, boring exclusive, compared to say like that Star Convoy. But it's still an exclusive. So, you know, we don't have a convention anymore. So yeah, at least you can get it online. So yeah, I mean, there's fan demand for stuff like this. I just don't, I would just rather get like really cool stuff instead of like another Smokescreen.
That's fair. But I think in the long run, if it helps not build up, you know, stacks of nearly identical toys, you know, on the shelves in stores, it's better for everybody all around.
That's true. True.
And obviously there's going to be the complaints if we get a Prowl released and there's not a Smokescreen and a blue streak following along behind it to make the trio. And you know, we had the cardboard cutout at Toy Fair that we weren't technically supposed to see, I guess.
Well, indicating Diecast blue streak. Yeah, Diecast didn't see that at Toy Fair, so.
Yeah, that's but right. Agent M from Marvel totally saw it.
Yes.
That's a super special, amazing preview. Okay, so this is interesting to me, even though I don't play the game. Transformers card game bans its first card. So basically, the gist behind this, from my understanding, is that
somebody figure out how to break the game.
Yeah. It can allow infinite turns. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there was a specific combination using specific character cards that let you do damage without attacking on your infinite turns. So basically that there was a way to win the game without ever letting your opponent do anything. And that interesting thing about this is that they actually published a lot of their reasoning as to why they banned this one specific card to break that combo. And it's just kind of fascinating to see them go into detail as to why they decided how to deal with this card and why to do it this way. That they said one of the reasons was that, people that they suggested a specific limitation, but when these extra turns got set up, people were still, you know, looking at their watches, checking their phones, things like that when they weren't being allowed to play. And that was just not what they were looking for with the game. So the best course of action they decided was to ban the specific card.
How common is that for games like this? Were they like, I know like with Magic, there's the Black Lotus card that everybody wants, but it's not banned, right? It's just rare.
With Magic, as I understand it these days, and correct me if I'm wrong, folks in the audience, because I probably am, because I haven't played Magic in 20 years, but I believe they just have basically blocks of cards that are valid for tournament play now, and just because of the progression, they you know, things get phased in and out, so there's only like very specific tournament settings where the Black Lotus would even be viable or playable anymore, and there were so much I don't think anyone would want to. In terms of just how, from what I've seen from other trading card games, this is more or less a rite of passage. If anything, this is a sign of the game's success. Just about any trading card game I've ever seen ends up with at least a couple of cards on the banned list in the long term.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. This is a sign of health for the game ecosystem, because there's enough people experimenting and playing and trying to push it to its limits to find something like this, that this is coming out relatively early in the life of the game. Like, it's only been out since, what, late last year now?
In the first six months,
if they've got to ban a card from tournament play, I think that's actually probably pretty good. And CZ in the chat is upholding your opinion on the Magic situation, Rob.
Oh, good. I am, you know, halfway informed. Great.
So one thing I wanted to actually mention, it's a great point about how it just shows how healthy the ecosystem is for this. You guys didn't talk about last week, and I think it's Forged to Fight that it just hit its second anniversary. That's the longest, yeah, as far so. Yeah, that's the longest that I know of, like, a game like that.
Yeah, you might be right.
If there's been a game that's run longer, there hasn't been one that's had a more active and boisterous fan base like Forged to Fight has had.
So, yeah, I mean, usually Hasbro's letting their licenses lapse with their mobile game partners, but yeah, Forged to Fight does seem to have been, it seems to be going on and going strong still, too.
Yeah, there's the other game that whose name I can't remember that is the one that Simon Furman writes for. I think that's been going a fairly decent patch of time for one of those as well.
I wish that I got into, like, the ancillary stuff, like the games and whatever, but I just don't.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, it's just not really my thing.
I tried a couple, but just nothing in the earlier ones at least really clicked for me. So
I'm glad that stuff is out there for the people who are obviously enthusiastic about it, but I look at a lot of the stuff that comes out of that, and I just can't make myself have a connection or attachment to it.
I think later this year for...
I'm dead inside.
Yeah, me too. I think later this year for... What's the thing in November that we've done in the past? The Streamathon thing? Extra Life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I think for Extra Life this year, we're going to... Mike's going to stream again. And I think we're actually going to do a Transformers tabletop game for that, which I'm looking forward to. But other than that, I really just can't see myself playing Transformers games that much. Though, at TFCon or whenever next time we get together, I do want to play the card game. But, like, I don't have anybody else locally to play with, nor do I have the time.
Both of which are barriers to entry on this, unless you just want to collect them for the reused art assets.
And I have thought about doing that.
Which are nice.
And see, that's the thing, too, for me. Like, I would probably be inclined to pick up occasional random packs of the card game when I can find them if they had original art assets on them, because, like, I don't play the game. I never have, but I do have, like, random Pokemon cards because I like Pokemon. I like the art on a lot of the card. Well, not a lot, but some of the cards do have art that catches my eye, and I try to find those. Often with the help of friends or, you know, getting stuff secondhand. Otherwise, I don't play the game. I don't care to play the game. I just want the cards with the art. If the Transformers trading card game had, like, all original art on it, where some of the stuff would catch my eye with a unique style, I probably would buy some of them, even if I don't have anybody to play with or really an interest in playing.
Hey, so while I'm thinking about it, now I'll ask your opinion as well, but what do you think JD would have thought about the Detective Pikachu movie?
Well, he would have been among those disappointed that Danny DeVito was not cast as Pikachu. I just know in my heart that that would have crushed him, that they didn't actually go through with doing that. I think he would be disturbed by Mr. Mime, as most reasonable people are, but I think he would also probably find it kind of cool.
I'm excited about it. Can't.
I'm probably not going to see it, but, you know, I like the art style.
Yeah, I think it looks great, and I don't know anything about Pokemon. It just looks fun. I mean, when I say I don't know anything about Pokemon, I did watch the cartoon for years. I never actually played a Pokemon game, which is weird, I know.
I don't comprehend existing without having played a Pokemon game.
Especially as someone who likes Dragon Quest. I mean, I know, right? in terms of mechanics, it should be right up your alley. That is odd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Just never did. Okay, so Soundwave Classic scale statue. It's pop culture shock collectibles.
I honestly put that in expecting Don would be on tonight.
I'm a sucker for cel shaded stuff. I'm not gonna lie. I can't tell if this is the actual statue or if it's a render. I don't
understand why he has a Mega Buster.
Yeah, that's the part I was.
Oh my god!
There was one episode where he had an electric cannon.
So
like that.
So yes. Basically,
okay.
Think about Mega Man and how he has a gun that looks basically like a vacuum cleaner attached to his hand. That's what Soundwave has in one of these modes.
Well, no, in the Mega Man cartoon, it was Roll that literally had a vacuum cleaner attached to her arm.
Ah,
oh, I forgot that. I mean, I remember
all things useless.
It's one of the better statues I've seen in a while.
There's nothing about it that screams off. Like a lot of those other statues have like been sexualized, or the detailing's weird, or like has a dead Dinobot.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is actually pictures of a Megatron statue from Imaginarium that has a dead Ironhide on its base, which I declined to put in the show notes.
And the cell shading is pretty well executed too, which is not, you know, always the case with these. I feel like a lot of these overdo it, but this is pretty solid.
Yeah. I wonder how much this would cost.
Well, it can be yours for only 5 payments of $29.99. Mm. So if you call the next 30 minutes, not only will you get one for 5 payments of $29.99, you'll get two for 5 payments of $29.99.
Just pay separate shipping and handling.
Yes.
Then I just got to get Don to split it with me.
Yeah.
And that would be Dononomics.
I have no idea how much this is going to cost. I would pay 5 payments of $29.99 for 2 of them. This looks really slick. It really does.
It does actually look pretty nice. I just figured when I saw this, it'd be something that'd be up Don's alley, because he keeps talking about that cell shaded Optimus Prime.
But the thing is,
what if 3A did cell shaded G1 figures? Would that be of interest? Non transforming.
It depends on how
they possibly
look. If they were no more detailed than this, yes. If they were hyper detailed, no.
Okay, so this statue is $230 on Sideshow's website.
Ow.
So my problem with statues is invariably I would knock it over.
Cheap as the statues go, Rob.
Yeah. Invariably it'll get knocked over and these shatter. There are no ball joints to pop back into place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, stuff is constantly falling over. I'm constantly knocking stuff off the shelf. And, I just can't justify it. Even that amazing-looking Dungeons & Dragons set that Don's going to get, that he's going to drop, like, $10,000 on.
So there's this one photo where the statue is on a surface next to an apple. And it's just giving me the most, like, uncanny valley vibe here. Looking at this cell shaded panel line thing that looks like a CG model sitting next to a definitely for real apple.
Mm.
Like, that is just tripping me out.
It is really odd.
Yeah.
That's the thing I like about the cell shaded look. It's just, it is mind bending.
Done really well. It's very convincing. Yeah, it's mind bending.
Yeah, it's very nice. Okay, what else we have? Color images of 3A Deluxe, Optimus Prime, Bumblebee movie Transformer. This is what Chris was talking about.
Yeah.
I hate this. Does Bumblebee come with a stand like that?
Yes.
I hate those stands.
You don't have to use it.
I know, but it looks, I don't know.
But it comes with it.
But like, so it basically it's a stand and it connects to his butt. It looks like a robot. It looks like he's either being refueled or using the bathroom. And
I mean, depending how many conduits there are in that arm, there's no reason it couldn't be both at once.
So talking about this movie or Siege versus G1 idea, this actually reminds me, somebody on Twitter posted an animated GIF where they were doing a morphing action between like Voyager Optimus Prime from Siege to the Bumblebee's Studio Series 38 figure, and how it's kind of like, it's like it's exploding with the tail, then it goes back to less detailed. In my mind, and again, going back to what we talked about in the past, Bumblebee, this Optimus Prime is not G1 Optimus, because none of that detailing exists. It's something different. It's a more pleasing aesthetic, but it's still not G1. It can't be.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. But I mean, I'm using the Studio Series toy as my classics Optimus Prime at the moment, because for me the style clash is not a problem. But like, you are right in your assessment that it's not G1, because G1 is not detail. It's not that kind of detail or mechanical design.
So with an Optimus Prime toy, I ask myself, would this Optimus Prime play Roboto Possum? And if the answer is no, then it's not a G1 Optimus Prime.
Would this Optimus Prime play basketball?
Yes.
Yes. That's the better question.
And this Optimus Prime, I think, would play rugby.
No, I don't think it's the better question. Because any Optimus Prime could play basketball, but only G1 Optimus Prime would play Robot-O-Possum.
Any Optimus Prime could play basketball, but did any Optimus Prime play basketball, or did only G1 Optimus Prime play basketball?
So would it sound like an old man, or would it sound like John Wayne? If it's the answer is not John Wayne, it's not G1 Optimus Prime.
Yeah, that's also fair. I wish Optimus Prime would sound more like John Wayne again.
Mm. And Peter Cullen could just use contractions. It's not hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure who decided
that. Talk a little faster, talk a little bit less formal. Sorry, Rob.
It's okay. Yeah, I was just saying, I'm not sure who decided that wasn't part of the character, but that needs to change.
We don't know a price yet, but it's not going to be cheap, like Jack wrote an article. So, but
no, it's going to be similar to their Bumblebee. Hmm. Yeah, it's going to be.
Well, that's not cheap. But it's cheap.
Well, compared to other 3A figures, it's cheap. Yeah. But yeah, it's not on objective scale, maybe not. Yeah.
Am I the only one who really does? There's something about this Prime I just don't like.
I like the Studio Series better.
Again, too detailed.
It's not the detail. I love the detail on the Bumblebee. The Bumblebee is absolutely perfect. Maybe I just didn't have enough interaction with that Prime in the movie to feel a certain way towards him. I don't need it.
I think it'd look better if its eyes were lit up. I think it would look right once that feature was activated. Because just the lack of eyes in these photos is a little bit off to me.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is that this is much more accurate to the movie modeling than the Studio Series toy is. And with the movie model, the proportions are they're tweaked to be a little bit more streamlined in the parts that are covered in smooth surfaces. But there's also a lot more exposed mechanical detail, whereas like that Bumblebee is mostly covered in car parts. You don't see all that mechanical stuff. So the aesthetics are not like one-to-one comparable to each other. So yeah. I think that might be part of the problem.
So Autobase Aichi posted images of Studio Series 44 Leader Class Dark of the Moon Optimus Prime. So here's the thing about this. I know Dark of the Moon came out, 8 years ago?
2010?
2011, right?
Dark of the Moon was
11. Yeah, that sounds probably.
So
maybe
I know that was 8 years ago. Logically, I know that was 8 years ago, but it feels like the toys were just on the shelf last year. So it feels to me like that Leader Class Optimus
Prime. They did linger.
Yeah, that's true. It feels to me like that Optimus Prime with the like jet wing, that $100 Optimus Prime was just still on the shelf.
Oh, yeah.
So to me, this feels unnecessary. But again, 8 years ago, it just doesn't feel like 8 years ago.
They never did one like this, though. So this is the first one to come with the trailer that turns into the ring. There were some third parties
Didn't have the ring.
Hasbro.
But there's one.
Yeah, I want to say, did Takara Tomy do a version of this at one point?
They did Jetpack Prime, but they never did one with the trailer ring.
Yeah, the re-equip ring previously was only a third-party thing that I can recall.
What was the one that was like $100 at Walmart or Toys R Us?
The Butterfly Wings one.
Oh, okay, yeah. It feels like it was not long ago that was still available. I feel like that was in my cart just last year, and I decided not to buy it.
Well, that probably was because you probably found the Toys R Us that still had some.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, but I think this is cool. I'm really happy that they did this in Studio Series and went for this design, which we never got before.
I don't even remember this. When did this show up?
I remember it.
Oh, he used to re-equip ring at Chernobyl, I think.
Oh, the re-equip. Okay, yeah. Okay, I remember. Okay, yeah.
I thought it showed up briefly in Chicago too, but I've only ever watched that movie once.
It may have, but he primarily used the jet wing configuration in the Chicago part.
Right.
Yeah, I don't need it.
Well, me either.
Yeah.
The only movie Optimus I need is the Bumblebee movie one.
Okay, let's see here. Stay safe, John.
Later, John.
I'll stay safe. You stay safe, more importantly.
John's got some bad weather on the way.
You land this show, Brian. Whatever comes after I leave, I trust you. Land this Land this bird.
Land this plane. So, yeah, I had a tornado warning for the first time I can remember this weekend. It was so weird. Was not expecting that. So, woke me
Did
up.
Did you go hide in the bathtub?
I came very close to it. I got to the point. I told Kim, let's get the girls. We'll take them to my bathroom. That's the safest one in the house, or we can run out of the basement. I worry about the basement, though. Like, if something happens to the house, how would anybody know we were there? You know? So, because you wouldn't think the house had a basement. But as soon as we were taking them, they canceled the warning for my area. But it was really It was really freaky. We didn't hear I know that they're tornado sirens here. We didn't hear them, so nothing must have happened. But yeah, really
around me, if we ever have warnings like that, everyone just ignores them because we're like, they're never that bad when they actually do hit around here anyway. So
I don't know of any fatalities that happen when they hit here, but I do know if things are destroyed. Better safe than sorry.
Yeah. You don't want to get surprised by that eventually.
No. And I don't know if anybody's noticed, but at least here, weather's really crazy for the last few years. It's way wetter than it's been, way more flooding, more hurricanes. It's odd. No way to explain it, though, I guess. Let's move on to the next item. Matrix weapon.
Science is baffled.
Matrix weapon, Big Bang cannon, Generation Select, Star Convoy webcomic posted to Tarek Tomy Mall. I love this. I just love the look of it. It's got Galvatron in it, so it makes me happy.
Is that Unicron's hand?
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I'm not sure if it's supposed to be Unicron or whatever the villain for Return of Convoy was.
Dark Nova?
Oh, whatever imbued Megatron with the power
of Giant?
Something like that. It's whatever made Megatron and Super Megatron. It resurrected. Yeah,
that's kind of what I'm thinking, but in terms of giving it a name that I recognize, I am not seeing anything in text.
Yeah. Gosh, this is so beautiful. I love this. I'm so excited about Star Convoy, even though
I'm not.
I want to hang up on you, but I can't.
I'm sorry. He's just, all I see is Power of the Primes, Optimus Prime, and I just don't care.
I would love to get that, but it's going to be out of my price range, I'm pretty sure.
And it really doesn't look like Star Convoy is a giant brick. And if it's not a giant brick, it's not Star Convoy.
I do agree that I wish they would have retooled the trailer to have treads instead of keeping its wheels.
Decepticon Emperor Dark Nova, according to TF Wiki.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I think Dark Nova becomes Star Giant at the end of Battlestars after fusing with Ultra Megatron.
I was going to say, if anyone does a Dark Nova before Unicron.
Yes, hashtag Dark Nova before Unicron.
Oh, that's almost going to be the title of this episode. We'll see. Banana. What the hell is this? Banana Force MPL2. Great armor revealed. Unofficial Red 2001 Ultra Magnus.
I also, for this, thought Don was going to be here today.
Is this the second one? The second third party that we've seen?
Oh, no. This is the same people that were doing the stylized Fire Convoy.
Okay.
We talked about a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Looks like they're made to combine.
Yeah. I mean, the Master Sword, there's kind of a giveaway. Also, the fact that the Fire Convoy had a Godfire Convoy head instead of a Super Fire Convoy head when we...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't particularly look like the Rid Ultra Magnus to me, but yeah, that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not.
It's a horrible toy.
I love how enormous the hands are because they're going to have to combine with that Optimus Prime. I love that.
It's interesting.
It has tiny little biceps and Popeye forearms.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be God Magnus if the design was not compromised for the combination it has to perform.
That's true.
Yeah.
This is true.
You know, I'm not going to say this is as egregious as having a Omega Supreme that you have to buy in parts, but this isn't far off.
it looks unrecognizable to me.
At least these are two separate characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can definitely
combine into one.
I can definitely see the Magnus in this design, even as much revision as it's had. I like the revisions they did, but that's mostly because the original toy was so regretful.
Mm-hmm. We regret this toy.
Yes, I do.
Hey, Diecast, there's a couple things.
No, you're right, though. This is hardly recognizable because the hips are not under the armpits.
Oh, God. Horrible toy. Horrible toy. Hey, so moving along, Diecast wanted to talk about a couple things that he's hearing in the third-party world that might be of interest to some folks.
Yeah, in the third-party world, Fans Toys Road King is shipping to North America, should be on its way now.
What's Road King?
That's their Motor Master, correct?
That is their Motor Master, and it is, you know, obviously for Menasor, and it's the Centerbot, so it's the first time we've ever had a third-party company actually give us the Centerbot or the biggest bot first, which is pretty impressive. And I contacted Fans Toys directly, and their Silverbolt is going to be next, which is their FT-30A, I believe. But I forget what they're calling the not Silverbolt.
When you say next, is there a time frame there?
Next figure after Road King.
So they're releasing both torsos before they release limbs for either.
Yes.
Ooh. That's weird. Hey,
interesting. So,
does Fans Toys have a complete combiner available, or are these the first?
No, these are the first.
Hmm. So I know we like Fans Toys when it comes to their general product, but I anytime somebody tries something new like this with a combiner, I am very apprehensive,
skeptical.
Yeah,
I mean, I think you're gonna know with Road King as soon as you get him, because from what I understand, he's almost gonna be a full combiner without the arms and legs. You may be missing hands and feet, and that's it. But the skeleton of the combiner is going to be there.
Oh, because is it animation style where basically the other Stunicons are just basically sitting on the outside?
There was one third party that was doing that.
I think that was Zeta.
I think that's the Meg Toys.
I thought that was the Zeta Toys.
No, DX9 and X-Transbots are doing the Venusaurs also right now.
Okay.
I think they're both going that route. I don't know. And I thought maybe Fans Toys was too, but I could be mistaken on that.
I haven't seen any renders or anything on the Fans Toys one. That just may be me not having seen it, but to the best of my knowledge, we don't know what their combiners are going to exactly look like yet.
Who makes the best third-party combiners?
As far as third-party figures, Fans Toys is definitely up there.
Fans Toys, Make Toys, those are some of the better ones. But like when it comes to combiners.
Combiners, that's a...
I have so few. I don't
the
know.
Robot, the full combined mode, I guess you would say a lot of people like Zeta. But I don't think their quality is as high.
The Zeta Toy Superion looks amazing.
Yeah,
it looks beautiful. It's like if I were going to buy one just on looks, it would be that. But apparently, it's not all that when you have it in your hands.
Yeah, isn't the Zeta Toys Aerial Bots the ones diecast that you had like two of and then sold and then decided to rebuy when you saw their? Yeah, I think that pretty much says it all right there.
Yeah, individually they're not good. Combined mode is excellent, but they also use parts forming where like the center is, you know, just an extra piece.
Okay.
So unlike, what is it? Ocular Max, is having MMC has a Bruticus coming out, and all the pieces, even the hands and feet, are going to be built into the bots. Well,
it's like
themselves.
Puzzler. It's like Puzzler.
Oh, nice.
So
Puzzler is on my list of things to rebuy. Not that I sold Puzzler. I broke Puzzler.
Oh,
it was my childhood puzzler.
Oh, yeah,
he is easy.
I broke the police car on that particular one.
Yeah. Okay, so anything else?
That's all I can think of right now.
Cool. Hey, what I can think of, tfradio.net/Amazon. Hey, you know, Easter is coming up this weekend, if that means anything to you. What it means to me is clearance Easter candy. I love Cadbury eggs. I love, and I bought Don some for on his tfradio.net/massive attack wish list. Easter Gambit is, you know, do you wait to see if you can get them on clearance, or do you go to the store the day after Easter and they're not there because they've been sent to something like Ollie's? But you know what? If you use tfradio.net/Cadbury, You can actually get Cadbury eggs at a pretty reasonable price right now, and you don't have to wait until after Easter. I love Cadbury eggs.
What if they don't listen to this till Easter?
They'll still be there because Amazon doesn't send their stuff to Ollie's.
And I have seen some...
Amazon sends their stuff to Bargain Hunt.
Bargain Hunt, yes.
I have seen some seasonal chocolates, like, marked down on Amazon. Not, like, in some cases, like, 3 or 4 pounds worth of Halloween-themed chocolates for a pretty good price.
So right now...
48-pack.
48-pack, which is $23.68. So it's less than 50 cents each. And if you go to Sheetz...
Okay, that actually isn't too bad.
Yeah, if you go to Sheetz, they're $1 a piece.
Yeah.
I think they go about 75 cents around here, a lot of the places I've seen, but so you're still doing better than that.
Oh, God help me, I'm going to buy it right now.
Yeah, the best price I've seen, I think Aldi had the 4 packs of Cadbury's for like $2.75, which would still work out to 60-some cents each.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I'm going to buy some Cadbury eggs. And I can't use my own link, so I'll... And I can't use Chris's either.
Podvocacy.
I'll use Podvocacy. And unlike,
I appreciate the thought, but I mean, I don't know what we can do to fix the problem.
Okay, buying now. Okay. Jason, when you talk about this on your podcast, you buy Cadbury eggs or Cogman? That's me. Okay, so tfradio.net/Cadbury to buy that. You can buy anything. tfradio.net/Amazon. It's pretty awesome.
If you see a bidet, also, Jason, that's also from Brian.
I do need to buy a new bidet. I love my bidet. God, why am I talking about this on the show? I love that thing so much, I would actually go and have like a real unit put in, which I would buy at Lowe's. But, not that I work for Lowe's, but I can now say I would go shop at Lowe's. Lowe's. I could never do that before. It feels liberating.
Go to tfradio.net/Amazon and then search for Star Trek The Undiscovered Country and buy Star Trek 6 on Blu-ray.
Do I have Star Trek 6 on Blu-ray? I need to check. I should.
I don't. But I have Wrath of Khan, thanks to Brian Kilby, who I believe sent that to me for my birthday.
Oh, I did. Yes, that's correct. I did that.
Thank you.
Ah, it's a great movie.
Yes.
I actually, on my wish list, I do have a Wrath of Khan t-shirt that I need to buy. Okay, that's it. Hey, Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, few things. We've got a Siege stop motion video put out by Hasbro Taiwan, which I haven't seen the whole thing yet, but it seems to be basically set up like a fighting game involving the Siege figures. So, and it's listed as episode 1, so we may get to see more stop motion with them soon.
So it's like Machinima.
It looks better than that, just in a little bit I've seen, I'm looking at so far.
Higher frame rate,
and also just, you know, Good stop motion has a charm that bad CG does not. So
that's true.
Yeah. So there's that right there. But it's the fighting is making like good use of the figures like Cog and Skytread that come apart too. So
they blow up Cog at least 2 times.
Yeah. So we've also got my review of IDW Transformers number 3, which when are they going to get to the fireworks factory? I don't want to be excessively negative about this, but it is really slow and the dialogue is really stiff, and whatever it thinks it's doing at $4 an issue, it needs to hurry the hell up and do it. Lastly, we have XV's unboxing of the BotBots Series 2 blind packs, all of them, the entire series of 24, and that was fun. I need to get some of those. I don't have any of the Wave 2 stuff. I barely have any of the Wave 1 stuff.
I recommend popcorn and beer.
Okay. Yes, for the video.
For watching that.
When you said that at first, I was like, okay, which BotBots are those? But
oh, I could totally see them doing a bucket of popcorn BotBot. Probably not the beer, though.
That could be like a good con exclusive or something. That'd be great.
That'd be great.
I don't think Hasbro Legal or whoever is in charge of these kind of decisions would sign off on them releasing a Transformer beer can or beer bottle, even as a convention exclusive.
What about Hasbro Europe? Yeah, like Hasbro not. Germany.
Hasbro Germany? Yeah.
Germany beer stein. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be great.
Cool. Okay. So John, who left, can be found at that John D on Twitter and basically everywhere else. Jason's not here. Jason S. Kirk. Don's not here. at HMRC for EVR. Hopefully he comes back soon. He can still talk, even though he doesn't have working eyes.
Maybe he doesn't have to type. Self-conscious about appearing with an eye patch.
Oh, it'd be great if he had an eye patch. It'd be awesome. He doesn't have to be on video.
Yeah, Don, if you're still watching, do like General Chang and just get the eye patch bolted directly to your face. Then you don't have to even like worry about falling off.
That'd be great.
And great.
And quote Shakespeare for the entire show.
Yes.
In the original Klingon.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, geez. Can you imagine Don trying to speak Klingon with his accent?
Oh,
that would be the best.
I think that would make it better. Yeah.
Matt's on Twitter at Melvar, 3 L's, 2 R's, M-E-L-L-V-A-R-R. Definitely worth a
follow. We're not doing that anymore.
No.
Why not?
Not at all.
We decided this last week, no more Melvar plugs.
Why?
Because Matt doesn't want us to.
Because he's respectfully asking us to not do that anymore.
Okay, done. I will.
Thank you.
I will agree with that.
I forgot to bring that up in between episodes like I was going to. Oops.
Well, let's see here. I'm on Twitter at BKilby, on Instagram at Brian Kilby. Hey, so just again, people who follow me, I post a lot of pictures of my kids, but I can't show them in North Carolina because they're foster kids and state regulations doesn't allow me to post pictures of them. So I always swap out their faces for mine. And some people are a little weirded out by that. Some people
included.
Some people love it. I get far more positive comments than negative. I got like one on Facebook that was like really negative, so I just blocked the person. Yeah. So,
but you know, only say it jokingly.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, and I must say, your face doesn't bother me now that you put Don's face on one of the kids. That absolutely horrifies
me. So I put Don's face on Chris Triplett a couple weeks ago, and on the kid. But I'll be honest with you, and Don, I love you. You know that, right? I know you're listening. I put Don's picture over my face with my youngest daughter, and Kim about flipped out. She's like, "Don't do that ever again."
It was great.
Yeah, she was like, "Don't do that ever again."
My only contribution to this dialogue is once the adoption goes through and you're not bound by the state regulations anymore, continue to do the face swap thing because it's actually an entertaining gimmick.
Yeah, I enjoy it. So I did once though post a picture of me with my 7-year-old's face swapped over, and it looked like Sloth from the Goonies. So I'm saving people from some horror by doing what I'm doing. So that was something. But yeah, that's on Instagram. Hey, when I'm feeling better. I have been sick constantly for like 8 years now, it feels like. I've only had the kids for 10 months. But here, like this week and next, I'm going to start back the Happy Daily because I really want to do it. And I haven't posted an episode of the RFC Daily recently again, mostly because of travel, but a lot of it's because I haven't had a voice. And that's mostly come back. So you can check all that out at tfradio.net and at briankilby.com. Chris, tell us about Play With Photography.
Well, I haven't been able to update much recently, what with computer problems and then other obligations, but hopefully soon, if you follow, let's see, I got to make sure I get these exactly right. Follow at Play With Photos on Twitter and Instagram.com/playwithphotography. You can find random photos that I post as I'm, you know, testing settings or changing lighting conditions, just random experimental things sometimes, which turn out to be like previews for galleries as they go up. You can also find on playwithphotography.com full galleries and various articles and other kinds of guides. Recently, I had we've referenced it 2 or 3 times in this episode, I think, the guide to fixing Transformer Siege Ironhide's leg panels, which is a really simple thing you can do just with some like precision screwdrivers if you have those around. Diecast performed the operation with some drill bits. Probably want to do that without the drill attached, so you don't just like shear the whole thing off. But
I had a hand drill.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah,
just you know, go slow with it and gradual. There's a whole guide. There's illustrated pictures there to show you what you're trying to accomplish and what it should look like before and after. I'm actually fairly pleased with that. I've got a lot of good feedback on that because it's such a simple fix that makes that toy feel so much better. Because it fixes it up just literally within like 2 minutes. So You can follow my, you know, toy photography media empire. Oh, jeez. Why would you do that?
For people not watching the video, I just am sharing some photos from my Twitter, and this is Triplet, my friend Ricky, but has Don's face swapped.
It looks like Don with hair.
I can't imagine Don ever had hair that looked like that. That just does not compute.
Kind of looks like Groucho Marx with the hair that way.
Yeah, actually, oh wow. For more things that don't compute, you can follow me personally on Twitter at ChrisRTXB.
Diecast.
You can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2. Please check out my Facebook and like my Facebook page at Reviews by Diecast, and then you can see my reviews on tfradio.net/reviews. Or on YouTube at youtube.com/RFCReviews.
Cool. Rob?
I'm on Twitter at FigureViewers and FlailThroughs. Also, YouTube is FlailThroughs, where I am still covering Gundam Battle Operation 2, the free-to-play PlayStation 4 Gundam shooter. Update videos for that are every Thursday, because Wednesday night and Thursdays when they update the game, add things, change things, and I will cover those as best I can every week. And if you like what I do there, you can go to patreon.com/flailthroughs and drop a couple of bucks on me, and I will also, you know, get rounds with specific mobile suit colors and combinations and things where possible.
Make it rain on him.
Yeah, that's what I forgot too when Brian was distracting us with horrifying face swap pictures. I also have a Patreon at patreon.com/playwithphotos if you would like to help contribute to the development of my media empire, to borrow a little bit from Don's horrible pun in the chat where he says, Chris is just trying new things on Play With Photography just to see what develops.
Oh,
oh damn it, Don.
Rob Springer, who isn't here, Rob Springer can be found at zonebase.org, and also his stuff is available on Twitter at Robo Rob Springer. Still trying to share some of my favorite photos. I better not. Maybe I'll do it in post show. Yeah, better not. Okay, so
this really went off the rails after John left. Yeah. You know,
this is true. This is true.
So really quick before we wrap up, I was mistaken. Fans Toys has shown off renders of their Superion and Menasor. And yes, their Menasor is just Motormaster with the Stunicon stapled onto his arms and legs.
Nice.
Yeah, I like
it. It reminds me of the mid-2000s when people would buy these like Junker Armada Unicrons just to use the legs and torso pieces to structure their fan-made combiners around.
I wonder if they're going to use separate pieces like Zeta does, or if they're just going to... I can't see how it would transform. Like, I can't see how Motormaster would turn in that to that center bot.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really interesting. Let's see if I can do this real quick.
And the neat thing is, I believe I've seen renders where you can actually put the cars either way. So if you don't like the cars on the legs with the, you know, the bottom showing, you can flip them around.
Yeah.
So, options.
What options are good?
I'm trying to share this horrible, horrible picture that I did. I can't. I'll do it later. It's horrible.
Okay.
Yeah.
For the more Photoshops.
Well, it's just an app.
There's an app for that.
Yeah, there is an app for that. That is really true. Okay, we'll see you next week.
See you, everybody.
Bye now.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.